This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
First and foremost, Happy New Year 2025. It feels like it's been a month since we've done one of these, Vic. I know it hasn't been a month, but it feels like that.
A couple weeks. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I can say this, the last time I saw you on one of these, well, saw you, period, was last year, so it's been a while.
No, last year was also, you should mention, 10 hours ago.
Right.
Because it is New Year's Day morning. It's not only New Year's Day, Ryan.
No, the morning.
It's New Year's Day morning. One of us had to do this in the morning. The other person would have been happy with 3:30 in the afternoon. I mean, you could probably guess which is which.
Let me just check.
But I am here.
Oh, right.
I am.
You are.
So hopefully most people are taking in the audio recording of this one.
Oh, will you stop? Just stop. You say this a bunch of times. You look great. It's anyway, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody as well.
Happy New Year to everybody. Absolutely. Let's have a rock in 2025, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely, we will. And you know what? I tweeted something out this morning and put it on Instagram because I'm a social media like hound. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I tweeted something out and I think paraphrasing was something like, you know, if you want this year to be different, if you want it to change for the better, then this is the year to do it. So if you're listening and you feel like, hey, you know what? I really want to get some things done, take advantage of it. Take the year. May it be good in 2025. So what we're going to do with this show, two segments. Second one is in the West, first one will go East. But we're looking back to some of the good stories and the stories in general from the 24-25 season, so the first few months of this NHL campaign. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to kind of tie those into what do some teams wish for as they begin the 25 part of this NHL campaign. So it's a nice tie-in with all of these. So we'll begin with the Rangers.
It's a New Year's wish list, right? Yeah. It's a New Year's wish list. And Ben, we have 7 items in each. We should mention that this is called Pucks and Seven. Should probably drop that at some point.
Yeah, I forgot.
And you are
that,
Ryan Payton.
Right?
Oh. And I am Victoria.
They can read, they can see it, or they'll hear the intro. You know what's interesting? And I just figured this out right now. NYR, New York Rangers, but New Year's resolutions.
Good one.
So what do they need? They need everything to go right for them because everything has gone wrong. I have no idea what's wrong with this team because there's so much wrong with them.
I don't usually speak in this language, but I can say with utter surety that they need a cleanse.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know in what form. I don't know if it's in the form of a new GM, and I know they don't get canned in the middle of a season, so that's probably not going to happen. I don't know if it's in the form of a new coach. I don't know if it's in the form of moving out a bunch of players or maybe a couple of key players or something, because a month ago, I was sitting here talking to you and Molly Walker and other members of the media saying that they are going to turn it around because they are too skilled. They are too talented. This roster is just too good to continue to stumble along. Ryan, I'm not saying that anymore. I think they actually do need to do something at this point because they're not turning it around and something is completely broken here. Yeah. I don't know what it is. That's not a very useful segment to have on a podcast, but something has to change.
Yeah, and it does.
What do you think?
I think the whole team needs, as you said, a cleanse, and they need a reset. I think the problem stems from the top. It's not Peter Laviolette, and when we had Molly on, she was quite adamant about saying, look, Laviolette's not going anywhere.
I wonder if she would still say that, though.
That's what I was going to get at. So I think it's just part of sports, and with the way the Rangers have been going, you have to put now the head coach into that hot seat situation. You really do. It doesn't matter who you are and how much respect you have and how long you've been in the league. Any coach of the 32 teams that is in this situation at this point with all the expectations that the Rangers had going in, Victor, they've been terrible. Mm-hmm. And I read this article the other day. Igor Shesterkin going to the IR.
Yeah.
It's a massive blow to the Rangers.
You think?
No. It's not. It is, but it's not.
Well, I see what you're saying.
Who cares? Who cares? It could be the best thing to happen to him. It could be the best. That is not a massive blow to the Rangers. He's been terrible. The team's been terrible.
I don't think he's been terrible. I think he's been fine. I think he's been fine. No. The defense in front of him has been awful.
Okay, but
awful,
if you're a goaltender now who makes the most money, who signed that biggest contract in the history of the league when it comes to goaltenders, you need to bail your team out. If you're worth that amount of money.
But I thought he was overpaid from the second that pen hit paper.
I just think it's not a massive blow because the whole team needs to blow up. I think honestly, Chris Drury it has started with him. Mm-hmm. And it really began when he sent the memo out and was basically, look, Trouba's on the market. Chris Kreider possibly.
Still blows me away.
I don't get it. There was nothing to that. The only thing that caused the problem was everybody reacting to that. Imagine you and I was thinking about this the other day. Imagine we were in the Rangers dressing room, or when it came out, say we were teammates with the Rangers and we were on social and we saw this. We got texted. Oh my goodness. Look what the gym. What would our reaction be? Mm-hmm. I think my reaction in the room. It's a complete downer. So yeah. I think honestly, and it the body language, everybody on the team is fragile, but you can't cleanse. You can't get rid of the whole team. So it's
okay.
It's awful.
Let's condense it then. What's on the wish list? What do they want?
They need wins. They mm-hmm. need wins. What they need to do is they got to find confidence, which I don't think any of them have. And they have to put all this whole few months of the season behind them. But that's a lot easier said than done, Vic. And you and I have talked about this at length. And I maintain this from day one in sports, specifically the NHL. You can't win a playoff spot in October and mm-hmm. say half an, but you can certainly put yourselves behind the eight ball. They are so far behind. It's not just, oh, they're whatever many points out of a playoff. Mm-hmm. They have all these teams to overtake. I don't see. Imagine they don't make the playoffs. It is a distinct possibility.
They might not. They need a trip. I think they all need to get away. I think all the players and the GM, and I know they usually don't have that relationship with the general manager, but I'm sorry, Chris Drury has put himself in this position, front and center. He needs to fix it. Everybody gets on the bus, go to the Hamptons. I don't care. Go away for a couple of nights, hash it all out, do some fishing. I don't care. Whatever it is those guys want to do, and see if they can hammer it out in that fashion, get back to the ice and sort it out. Because these players are too good for the record that they have right now.
Fair enough.
And if they're trading Chris Kreider, I want them to trade him to my favorite hockey team because he is just a hell of a player.
Yeah, he is.
He's one of my favorites.
Any team in the league would love to have Chris Kreider
on their
club.
Let's flip to something more positive now. The Rangers have taken up a lot of oxygen.
They have, yes.
Washington Capitals.
What's on the wish list is keep the season going the way it's going.
A playoff spot is on the wish list.
52 points in 37 games. And are we past the point, I think I am at least, are we past the point where we are looking at if this is sustainable or not? Because I think it is sustainable. You're into January now. Again, you're going to be battling. The Devils, very good team. The Canes, very good team. The Penguins aren't out of it yet. But really, those are the three teams right now battling for 1-2-3 in that division. And unless Pittsburgh shuts the door a little bit on the gap between them and Carolina, it's going to be those three teams. Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of track to go. But with the way they're playing, Vic, and how good Spencer Carberry is and mm-hmm. the moves he's making, and Ovechkin's back, they're not just playing with confidence, they're playing with ease. Yes, they're working, but things just seem to be coming to them a lot easier than a team, say the Rangers, that are struggling.
I wasn't much of a believer, I will say, even 3-4 weeks ago. I was still waiting for them to not fall off a cliff, but hit the brakes a little bit, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then I wanted to gauge how it would look moving forward from there. Now I feel I'm much more of a believer, and it's more I'm buying into how much better this team is with the development of the kids, Connor McMichaels, mm-hmm. the Alexi Protases, those guys, and the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade has worked out beautifully for them. They're getting excellent goaltending. Dylan Strome has been fantastic. Everything is just moving along tickety-boo here. And now they have Alex Ovechkin back, and he looks happy as a clam. Yeah. So it's, I have to have them in a playoff spot now. I have to. I still think there's going to be a couple of weeks of teetering here and there because just the strength of competition in the NHL.
They're going to lose some games, but they have the padding.
They have the padding,
hockey.
Ryan.
Yeah, and that's key.
But they have that. So on the wish list is a playoff spot, and I think they would also love to see Alex Ovechkin break Gretzky's goal record. And right now it looks like that could be a distinct possibility.
It is. They have 46 games to go. Mm-hmm. He's 25 goals away from it. And I was looking at this article as well recently, and it was ranking the top 10 games where the record breaking goal would happen. And they go from 10 down to 1. What would be the most ideal situation, the best game possible with all the drama? And what they focused in on was the final game of the 82-game regular season. Yeah.
It's Pittsburgh, right?
The final game is against
the Penguins?
It probably is. Capitals have the Ducks March 11th. And then, I'm sure it is against them. Anyway, you can look that up. But that's one of them. Another one is, of course, you know what? The game 80, the last game in Washington, mm-hmm. is the Blue Jackets and what. So they were thinking, okay, let's get it done in Washington, home crowd, whatever. There's a game against Edmonton coming up. There's a game against the Rangers. So it's just neat to go through if he's going to do it, which a lot of people think he will. When is he going to do it? But only he'll know.
But that's always an undulating narrative, right, Ryan?
I know.
So before he comes back, there's no chance now. Oh, he had a broken fibula, blah, 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 blah. Comes back, he scores in his first two games. Yes, one was an empty netter. Doesn't matter. They all count.
Doesn't matter.
Scores in his first two games, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, of course he's going to break the record. Now, you know he's going to hit a couple weeks when he's not going to score. And everybody's going to then turn around and say, of course he's not going to break the record.
Yeah. Right? He's as streaky. That's what pure goal scorers are. They're streaky.
Of course they are.
They're streaky. And he's going to go on a huge run, which he probably is now, and then he's going to go off the rails a bit for, say, 2, 3, 4 games, and then he's going to come right back on. So he'll get – I want him to get it done this season. I really
Me
do.
Me too.
The narrative has been great. You come back from that injury, off we go. Have the Leafs done the right thing here, Vic? With the Leafs need to know where Austin Matthews is going to be in a month, for example. So the wish list from them, playing well, no issues at all. They play well without Austin Matthews in the lineup, but he's not doing well. He's still battling the injury. Whatever he went over to Germany to get fixed is not helping. So he was placed on IR. What that means, essentially, he can come back anytime. But it means it opens up a roster spot. So somebody else can come up and fill that roster spot. I would not push him back, Vic. I would shut him down for as long as he needs to shut down till he's 150%.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Under the circumstances. And there's also the view, and this is much discussed on social media, much discussed on radio and television programs. Do you take the Tampa Bay Vegas route and put him on LTIR?
Yeah. Well,
and free up $13 million in salary.
Tampa did it with Kucherov. Vegas did it with Stone.
Mark Stone. And then trade for, there was one proposal I saw on Twitter the other day from Nick Alberga. Trade for Mika Zibanejad, big center out of the New York Rangers, makes $8 million. Put Austin Matthews on LTIR. He didn't bring up that part. That's my brain. But right, he mentioned the Mika Zibanejad.
Right.
Put him on LTIR, bring in Mika Zibanejad, who's got 3 years left on his contract at $8 million. And when he's playing well, that $8 million is a bargain. And then in the playoffs, Austin Matthews feels, totally fine, you would hope. Maybe not. Maybe he feels like crap for the rest of his career. I have no idea.
Right.
But hopefully he feels good. And then all of a sudden, you have at center Austin Matthews, Mika Zibanejad, John Tavares.
Listen, listen, if it's not against the rules. It's not against
the rules. They won a cup doing that.
It's not against the rules.
It isn't. Oh, the Leafs would hear about it forever and ever and ever and ever.
Of course they
would. But until they change that rule in the CBA, then that's something to take advantage of. I just wonder the fact that he's still considered day-to-day. I know he's on injured reserve, but that's a paper move. The fact that he's still considered day-to-day and every day we're talking about, is he going to come back? Is he going to come back? It's very difficult to see him sitting out the rest of the season, just the way it stands right now.
Yeah, no. And I don't think it is. The injury is at the point where the thinking is he's going to be out for the rest of the regular, so the next 4 months until game one of the postseason. But it's clearly not working. He's still battling. When they played against Buffalo, took a couple of shots, one in the back. Did not look good.
It didn't.
So it's, look, Austin Matthews, when healthy, is one of the best goal scorers in the game. He's one of the more exciting players in the game.
He is top two.
Top two.
Best goal scorer in the game right now.
But outside of that, it doesn't matter. Like, you need your health. And it does, for Toronto to get through 82 games, then we'll move on. That's fine. It's one thing. It's what the Leafs do in the playoffs. That's it. That's the only thing that matters to this team. The only thing that matters to this fan base.
But if he makes a difference between finishing top of the Atlantic and in a wild card spot, Ryan, I know there's no easy out, but I don't think they want to play Florida in the first round.
No, you don't. No.
Okay? So there's that.
No, I get it.
The other crinkle here, he really wants to play in the Four Nations. He really does. And he can't, there's no justification in him suiting up for Team USA if he hasn't played hockey before then.
No.
I think they might even ask him not to play at all. But he desperately, desperately wants to. So we're going to see what happens with that. Anyway, it depends on his health. You're absolutely right. If he feels like Kaka, he can't play. That's it. And if it's, I really, really hope it's not chronic. I don't even say that as a supporter of the Maple Leafs. I say that as a hockey fan in general. The game is more entertaining when he's at his best. I really hope it's not chronic.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think the Leafs people tell me the same thing. It's probably something he's going to have to play through for the rest of his life.
Yep.
But is it something he can manage? So Maple Leafs wish list, let's summarize this, that they make the right decision on AM 34. I think that's what, how we're condensing that.
Right? And right now, right now Boston's in third in that division, Toronto, Florida, Boston, Tampa. It may end up being Toronto, Florida, Tampa battling for top spot in the Atlantic. Only time will tell, but at the same point, probably those two teams, for obviously from the state of Florida, will be up there with Toronto battling for something.
Don't sleep on the Lightning, man. They have games in hand on everybody, and they're right there. They are right there. Yep. And all they're doing is winning hockey games, Ryan. That's all they're doing.
They have four games in hand on Florida, five on Boston, four on the Maple Leafs. Yeah.
Crazy.
The New York Islanders on the wish list is peace, Vic, and a new general manager. Couldn't agree with you more.
It's not working out.
No.
So I think somebody needs to retire.
Can you explain to me what happened the other night, the thinking of Patrick Waugh, when the Leafs were up 2-1 against the Isles, goalie pulled as a faceoff was in the Islanders zone. Mm-hmm. So there was no goalie. The Leafs won the draw, where they ended up getting the puck and Tavares scored. A game set match 3-1.
Yeah, I was watching that game.
And then the shot of Waugh on the bench. Did you actually expect that to work? And now I understand if you won the draw, fine, you can set up, get it out. That's one thing. But you have a 50-50 chance of that coming out of that zone without it going into the net. I thought that was absolutely stupid.
I think Patrick Waugh is a very frustrated, desperate man right now. So I think he's just throwing anything at the wall, hoping it sticks. I also think he understands he might not be the coach of the New York Islanders for that much longer. I'm not saying that they're going to can him this season, but this is, doesn't sound, feel like a long-term relationship to me anymore. Right? Because it's just, it isn't working out. I understand he doesn't have the personnel. He doesn't have the players. I'm first and foremost blaming management for the way that they're performing. But then at the same time, Matt Barzal has three goals. I know he's missed a bunch of time.
Yeah.
But he's played 17 games.
They're under.
He should have more than three goals.
A lot of the individuals are underperforming, and the team obviously is underperforming. I, to be honest with you, and I don't know Patrick Roth from anybody. I've known him from when I've seen him play, as you have, and seen him coach. I just don't think he's a fit for any team in the NHL. I just don't think he's.
You think
a
he's more of a junior guy?
I do. I don't know why.
He's enjoyed a lot of success at the junior level. Lots and lots.
Tons. And Lou Lamoriello, you got to go. I'm sorry. You're 143. I understand you want to keep this thing going, but you have to. I'm sorry, Vic. Again, I don't know him at all either, but it just seems to me you need a complete. We talk about the Rangers cleanse with Drury. You need a cleanse when it comes to Lou. But the problem is with that, Lou is all the power in the world. I mean, no one's going to tell him, maybe you should step aside. No, the only one who's going to do that is him, and I don't
see. He commands a lot of respect, yes. Much deserved, but I think it's also, I think that's a chronic issue all in and outside of sports when people don't realize it's their time to go.
No, fair.
Right?
Enough.
And,
fair
and move on. And I think it's a lot of it is hubris. A lot of it is, you know, I deserve this and ego and all that. So, but you look at the roster and you're like, how does anybody expect this team to win games? There's some good players. There are no star players on this team.
No, there's not.
And
no,
you need a couple. This day and age, you need a couple.
Three more to go before we go to the West, and we'll do these relatively quickly. Ottawa, their wish list, Vic, is a playoff spot, which could happen. And now, unfortunately, health when it comes to goaltending.
Ullmark was outstanding for that stretch.
Fabulous.
The Senators played well altogether, but he was beyond. His goal saved above expected was through the roof.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your best indicator on that. I don't like back injuries for goalies. I don't like any injuries for goalies.
Nope.
But I don't like back injuries. I don't like groin, and I don't like back. Okay, because that stuff just tends to recur. I hope that he feels good soon. I think they're targeting mid-January right now for him to come back.
Uh-huh.
The Ottawa Senators need to stay afloat in the meantime because they're one of the better stories in the NHL right now. And I want to see them compete. I'm not a Sens fan. I want to see them compete.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this is really a minor thing. They bring him back to full health and we're not dealing with this all season long. But Ryan, we talked about this. We talked about how good Ullmark has been and he's never played a full season because he's always been a member of a tandem team when he has succeeded.
Yeah.
So now we're going to really see how he manages playing with a greater workload. And if injuries are going to come into play, we're going to find out.
So Ottawa's played 36 games, and Ullmark, if I'm not mistaken, has played in 23 of those. So that's those aren't Ullmark Swayman numbers in Boston at all.
And he actually has missed some time because of injury as well. So he would play more frequently when he was healthy, right?
12-7-0-2. I mean, the GA is not bad. Save percentage is not bad either. But again, the amount of the amount of wear and tear, I guess, on the body, we haven't seen this in Hallmark for a while.
Oh, and he sucked to start the season. Remember that?
No, I know he did. Yeah,
not the first couple games, but then he sucked. No. And then he figured it out. Okay, and I know he got into the rhythm with the defensive scheme and all the rest of it. And those things take time. I understand that. But and then he was outstanding. So I want to see how the Ottawa Senators do when he's healthy and playing well.
So as of right now, again, this is Wednesday, January 1st in the morning, because one of us wanted to do it in the morning. I don't know who would want to do it in the morning. Ottawa holds that. Ottawa holds that second wild card spot. Again, is it too early to talk? It doesn't matter. But the whole point of this is it kind of puts into perspective what we're talking about. Ottawa, second wild card. And right now, Pittsburgh, Vic, is 1 point back with 39 points in 39 games. The Sens have 3 games in hand. Tampa, again, they are 3 points up on Pittsburgh for first in the wild card. They have 5 games in hand on the Penguins. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pittsburgh is trying to give this one last shot here, I think, Vic. It's going to be really tough, though.
That's the wish list for me. The Pittsburgh Penguins want one more kick at the postseason can. Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at their ages the other day. I know we've talked about it, but you're looking 37, 38, 39, 37, 36. This is an older team. The most effective players. They have some younger players, too, but when you're talking about your Crosbys and your Malkins and your Carlsons and those guys, it's
they're the elder statesmen of the game.
They are.
It happens.
And they're also excellent hockey players. One of them in particular, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they want, I still don't think they're going to do it. Do you think they're going to pull it off? No. I don't.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't. And it comes down to, again, the games in hand that Tampa has, the games in hand that Ottawa has. And not only that, when you're Pittsburgh and you're a team chasing that second wild card spot, remember what happened last year? Let's say, I don't know, pick whoever teams were in 1-2 in the wild card with about 2 weeks to go. You look at a club which was fifth or sixth, they may only have been 3 points back or four, but you have four teams to overcome. That's to me is the biggest thing. And I think Pittsburgh.
Oh, it always is.
Yeah, they're going to run out of track space. And they just won't be able to. I want to say this quickly because you talked about one of the better players in Crosby. I was looking at what he's done in a calendar year in the last few years. So in 2022, in the calendar year, so that means, of course, January through till April and then October through till December for hockey. In 22, he played 87 games. 87 makes sense. He had 109 points. 109 points in the calendar year. And then in 23, he played 81 games, had 86 points. So far in 2024, it's done. 86 games, 99 points. It is unreal. It's one thing to go 82 games over a season, but when you put that into perspective, what he did in the first few months of a year and then in the last few months of a year to start the season, it's phenomenal to me.
He's 37 years old.
It's ridiculous. He's playing like he's 20. He's playing at 27.
He's playing like a younger man, and he's more effective than a lot of the younger men in this game, and he's 37 years old.
Last one.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, did Aretha Franklin, was it the RESPCT? Was she the one that did that? I think so, right?
2024 wish list. Yeah. I believe the Carolina Hurricanes would enjoy more respect. I don't think they get enough respect from us. And I mean the collective us in the media, not necessarily you and I. I think you and I actually give them a fair amount. But in general, they're never talked about.
Yeah.
And they just sit there. We're talking about Washington. We're talking about how the Rangers stink. We're looking at other teams in the Metropolitan. New Jersey is getting a ton of respect these days, deservedly so. And we just don't talk about the Carolina Hurricanes. Where are they in the standings, Ryan?
They're third in their division.
But they're very, very comfortably in a playoff spot. Very comfortably.
Yeah, right now they have 46 points. And then the wild card is, so they're 4 points up. Right now,
they're like the Lightning to me in their own division. It's the same thing. They're just sitting there winning hockey games quietly, and I don't think they mind that at all. And I know people say, "Oh, you got to win the playoffs." It's the same. I get it, but right now it's January 1st, so we can't talk about that. They're not a great team because they're not winning in the playoffs because the playoffs are 4 months away. Okay, so let's just say right now they're playing well. They're playing they're in a very comfortable spot. And I think they're going to be there by the time all is said and done. And they're going to challenge New Jersey for top spot as well. I really believe that.
Yep, they will. And they have 3 games in hand on the Devils.
See?
They played 37. The Devils have played 40. The one thing I don't get, and there's a lot of different home and away records this season, which are mind-boggling to me. Some have better.
There's some really weird ones.
What is going on? I remember the other day, it was like a week ago, I was looking at the numbers and I was looking at how many wins home teams have had at home. and how many wins away teams have had on the road. Mm-hmm. And at the time before that night, it was 288 at home, 270 on the road. So, I mean, that's a plus 18 to scratch. That's nothing. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the season, you would think it's a lot more. Anyway, the point is, Carolina, though, they're at home. They're great, 14-4-0, mm-hmm. but they're 8-9-2 yeah. on the road. I still don't quite understand
it's like,
that.
It's like Vegas. Now, Vegas has a decent record on the road as well, but they're yeah. just – Vegas is just one of those teams you can't beat it in their own home. You just can't.
We'll take a break. We'll head west. We'll talk Vegas, Calgary, Colorado. A nice win, too, for them last night. Mm-hmm. They're moving up in the standings in that division. We continue. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria, Matty Ash. We'll be back after this.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matty Ash.
And welcome back to Pucks in Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Happy New Year 2025 to everybody. Again, this is the morning. And I know Vic wants to emphasize that even more. It's the morning on New Year's Day.
I'm a good teammate, Wednesday. Man. That's what I was going to say about that.
You're going on LTIR after this, but you know what? I appreciate you doing this, Rory. And,
I'm going on the couch. Yeah, well, not much.
Yeah, long-term couch reserve. There yes, you go.
That's about right.
Yeah. We went to the East, and again, what we're doing in this one, we're taking, you know, a lot of the teams, seven and seven different storylines from the West, and we're looking at, you know, kind of what these clubs who are in need of wishes or wants that they need for the new year in 2025. So let's go to the West, and let's talk Vegas. No surprise, Vic, once again, this team is always at or near the top of their division, and it's going to be something that's going to be commonplace with them, I think, for eternity, to be honest. But what they do need and wish for is good health.
Mark Stone needs to stay healthy.
Yeah, I don't
Jack
know.
Jack Eichel needs to stay healthy. Their supporting players need to stay healthy, and their yeah. goaltending needs to stay healthy.
That's a lot. That's a big ask.
That has been the only issue, I think, that Vegas has dealt with. Particularly Mark Stone. He's kind of the poster boy. We were talking about him in the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
And his back issues. I always worry about him, especially as a fantasy writer, to endorse picking him early in a draft for any team, because when he's playing, he's outstanding.
Yeah.
But he just the injuries, when he gets hurt yeah. bad.
And he's out for an extended amount of time. He's out for a long
always.
Time.
Yeah. So, but they're healthy right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've only lost four times at home. We talked about that earlier as well.
Yeah.
This is an outstanding, well, this is, to me, they are the best team in the NHL. Okay. And if they can stay healthy, yes, they are.
Okay.
Right now. Maybe okay. in a month I'll say somebody else. But right now, there's no weakness on that roster. Not when both of their goalies are playing well. Aiden Hill and Samsonov. Samsonov pitched a shutout the other night. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
When both of them are playing well, that defense is still one of the best cores in the game. They have depth scoring. They have their superstars in Stone and Eichel.
Yeah.
They're just, where's the weakness? What
There's
are the
no
best
weakness.
Fourth lines in hockey,
yeah.
right?
No, there isn't any weakness.
Yeah.
Going back to November 30th of last year, because we're so far away from 2024,
mm-hmm.
they lost 6-0 to Utah. And then after that, they played Edmonton, Anaheim, Dallas, and Winnipeg. They won them all.
Mm-hmm.
Then you sprinkle in a loss in the middle of December to Edmonton 6-3. And then they play Minnesota, Vancouver, Seattle, Anaheim, San Jose, Calgary. They won them all. And then you lose to Montreal 3-2. It doesn't matter. Just reeling off those names and those teams. Minnesota's a good team. Edmonton, Winnipeg, mm-hmm. Dallas. Yes, Utah, they probably should have won whatever. Montreal, sure. It doesn't matter. But the fact is, this team, to your point, Vic, there's not been a weakness. I had this discussion the other day, too, about some people say that, and I think one GM said at some point, that it takes 6 to 10 years to build a contending team, a real
contender. Not in this case.
Exactly. I even think, take Vegas aside, I think 6 to 10 is pushing. I mean, if
yeah.
you're right at the bottom, okay. But I think 6 to 10 is a lot. Maybe 3 to 7, something like that. But the Vegas Golden Knights, and to your point, they all say, well, look at Vegas. I said, that's fine. But you got to understand that Vegas was, yes, they have a good team. But that was a different club. This was an expansion club. This was they had an expansion draft. So they were given.
And they had a very generous expansion
exactly.
draft.
Exactly. So
okay.
you already were up
That's
here.
That's been changed.
Right. Yeah. You think? Anyway, it's great to see, and I'm not knocking Vegas at all, because mm-hmm. you have to, every year you've got to do it. Every year you got to go through 82, and it doesn't matter what team and what talent you have, you got to do it. But they were given a pretty good start, I think.
The other thing I'll mention about this right now, that to why they're so successful in this, I noticed this with them more so than with other teams in the NHL. When somebody slides a little bit, when Hurdle stops scoring or stops contributing for a little bit, another player like Victor Olofsson will step up. Right? It seems like somebody is always there to step up when somebody else falters a little bit. And William Karlsson will go on a tear when Eichel slows down a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just everybody's pitching it at different times. And it's how do you orchestrate that? Right? So, and I think that speaks to their success as well. But look out for Vegas, man. If they can stay healthy, so that's their 2025 wish list. Mm-hmm. Golden Knights. Good health, and they have it right now. I know Barbashev's a little banged up, but that's nothing compared to what they could be dealing with.
It's always tough. You don't want to slide under a hurdle. That's one thing you don't want to do.
I could see it in your face.
I was just waiting for you to finish so I could get it out of my mouth.
I could see it in your face. I could see the wheels. It's not bad, actually. That wasn't bad.
Yeah, if you do the hurdles, you don't want to slide under. You want to go. Okay. Calgary.
Moving on.
We talked about home records and away records. Mm-hmm. Calgary's great at home. 13-4-3.
Which I like for Flames fans. That's fun.
Yes. 5-8 and 4. So 5 wins in 17 road games. I don't know if you're in agreement with me, but for a long time I felt that there's not as much emphasis should not be put on home crowd against away anymore. In the playoffs, it's a little bit different. But over the course of a season, hey, if home team great, and if you lose more than you win on the road, then okay. But this is, 5 wins in 17 games? That's on their wish list. A road win.
More road wins for certain. They're in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be in one by the time we're wrapping this season. Again, not because it's the same conversation we had about Pittsburgh.
Right.
Not because of who they are as a hockey team, because they also still need a second line centerman like nobody's business. So there's that. Mm-hmm. But in general, the strength of competition, not only in the Pacific, but in the West altogether, because I could see 5 teams from the Central go, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's if Vancouver really poops the bed moving forward, right? So because otherwise Vancouver is going to be hovering right there. But I like the direction this Calgary Flames team is taking, because they do have some good younger players who are coming up, your Zaries and all these guys, right? And at the same time, Craig Conroy is not going to just patch things at the deadline to try and get into the postseason, because he understands they're not a playoff winning team. Even if they slide in, they're first round, see you later, Bucks. Mm-hmm. So this is when they get their second line center, it's going to be somebody who they can re-sign, will have term, whatever, and it's not going to be a band-aid. And I like the direction this team is playing. I have a soft spot for the Flames. Since Jerome McGinley, one of my favorite hockey players of all time, since he skated there, I've always had a soft spot for them.
I agree. I just don't think from the get go, I didn't think Calgary was going to be in the playoffs.
But they should win more on the road.
They should.
2025 wish list, Calgary
especially,
Flames, more
especially
road
if you're that good at home. Mm-hmm. There's a difference, but if you're that good at home, there really should not be that much of a discrepancy between how many wins you have on the road.
I'm with you.
You mentioned the standings, Calgary in the second wildcard spot, right? I believe. Dallas is in the first wild card spot. Mm-hmm. Dallas has not been in a wild card spot for most of the season because they have been battling Minnesota and Winnipeg in the Central. But now all of a sudden, since they've done this goaltending swaparoo in Colorado, the Avalanche, they're trending upwards, Vic, and now they're in third spot. This team, they're coming off a really impressive win last night too, by the way.
Yes,
but they wished for good goaltending. They got it. They want it to continue.
They do. So their 2025 wish is an extension of how well their new goaltenders, Mackenzie Blackwood, we should mention, and Wedgwood, how well they have played, particularly Mackenzie Blackwood. But Wedgwood is also subbed in very nicely when necessary. Mm-hmm. And the whole team now is just playing better in front of them. And how many times have we seen that? 1,000? They're 8-2.
More than that.
They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 5 straight. Look out for the Avs. This was a team a lot of people were talking about. Are they even going to make the playoffs a month and a half ago? And now all of a sudden they're looking very comfortable storming up their own division. And they're going to challenge. I know the Winnipeg Jets are winning again as well. And they're impressive too. But you can never count out Nathan MacKinnon and his club. No. Ever, 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 ever.
And what's incredibly impressive is, where did Colorado begin the season? They didn't start very well.
They stunk.
They stunk. So they're just slowly doing what we all, I mean, I had them winning the Stanley Cup, and I'll stick by it. Didn't look too good about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, but it's going to be a long road for them. Mackenzie Blackwood, he signed that contract extension. Mm-hmm. Good for him. That's great.
I'm surprised he got 5 years.
But, yeah, me too.
But
he's played in 5 games with the Avalanche since the trade. He stopped 142 of 151 shots. That's a 940 save percentage, and the Avalanche are 4-1.
But that's what we expected from this team.
We did.
It also does sort of highlight, and this is a bit of a nasty thing, but how badly Georgiev was struggling.
No, it's terrible.
And continues. Okay, you can use the T word. He's I don't like saying players are terrible because he plays in the NHL, but it does show how badly he was struggling between the pipes, just how much better this team is with good goaltending. So
next up, San Jose. And I read this the other day, and Macklin Celebrini, number one, he's certainly on track for the
he's so fun. Calder Trophy. That kid is so fun to watch. Oh my goodness. I'm so happy for San Jose Sharks fans. He is so fun.
I like when he said this the other day, but it also kind of gets me to think about how much pressure somebody like that has and takes upon himself. And he's only a teenager. Like it's his first year in the league. He said, I want to stop losing. Mm-hmm. And when you have a Celebrini coming in, a Matthews, a McDavid, a Jack Eichel, go down the list of all these top picks in the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, for example, all they've known is winning in every league that they've been in before the NHL. So I'm not saying that mentally this is a struggle for him, but you can see that Connor Bedard's been struggling a bit this season. He's been playing better as of late. But with Chicago not winning, I don't want to see that translate into Connor not playing as well. So I want Macklin to continue to do what he's doing, but I don't want the losses to weigh him down. And I don't want that.
No, I don't either. But I think he also understands that that's also a team that is in a rebuild of sorts.
Yeah.
And they have
part of it.
Will Smith is there. They have some young talent coming up as well. And he's going to understand they're going to lose more games still this year. They're better than last year, Ryan. They're more competitive.
They are. Yeah.
And they're going to be a little bit better next year.
Yeah.
Right now, I think what would provide a big boost to this organization, and obviously the player too, is if he could somehow manage to win the Calder.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that was possible a while ago when he missed the 12 games after he suffered an injury. I just thought, and the way that Matvei Michkov had been playing, I just thought, again, just the discrepancy in games played, Celebrini has the advantage there. I'm sorry, Michkov has the advantage there.
Yes. Yeah.
But since then, Michkov has slowed down quite a bit. He scored the other night, but he won a few games in a row when he didn't produce at all. And Celebrini's at pretty much a point per game pace.
Yeah, 27 points, 28 games.
That pretty much.
Yes.
If this trend continues on both sides, and Michkov stumbles a little bit more too, who is also a hell of a young player, by the way, we might have a very interesting two-horse race at the end of the season for the Calder Trophy. That's what I want to see. And what that would do for San Jose. That's my 2025 wish list for the San Jose Sharks. They're not winning enough games. They're not going to get into the playoffs. But the boost that they would receive if their young number one draft pick wins the Calder, I think would be felt tangibly, is my point.
Michkov he's not under the right coach in Philly.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I'm not so sure about that. No, I don't. And I think that this is doing more damage than good to him, what Tortorella has been doing. Anyway, topic for another day. San Jose, though, to Macklin Celebrini's point about he doesn't want to lose anymore. Look at the games since they last won, which against the Blues, so 9 games ago. They lost 4-3, 4-3, 4-2, 3-2, 4-3.
Mm.
And then 6-3, 3-1, 4-0. So the games that they lost to Vancouver by 1, Edmonton by 1, Avalanche by 2, Jets by 1, Utah by 1, Blues, they won by 1. So it's not like they're getting killed, Vic, to your point about they're better than last year, 6-0 or 7-2.
They're not the easy out they used to be.
Right. Yeah. And to me, though, if you lose those one-goal games, that's worse than getting blown out. I really think that, especially
until
when your team...
Until they turn it around.
Yeah. The Canucks wish list. One of the wishes on their list is they would love, I think, most of the Canucks, but I really don't think that these two individuals do. JT Miller and Elias Pettersson to become best buds, but I don't think I mean, you got to be realistic with some of these resolutions, yeah. Vic. I don't think this is very realistic. In fact, I know it's not very realistic.
Here's my thing. I mean, we've all heard the rumors. I love the gossip, by the way. I think it's super fun. And we hear that these two don't get along, whether it affects the way they're playing or not. It's a total, that's the story. Whether two right. people don't get along, it doesn't matter. I told this story yeah. on another station the other day. I'm going to say it to you again. These are grown-ups. They're professionals. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I worked in a radio station. This is over 20 years ago, not in Toronto. So people don't need to guess. And mm-hmm. the sister station had a morning show team, a man and a woman. And they despised each other in life. They did not get along at all. And they were both good people. I liked both of them, but this was just an oil and water relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. It just did mm-hmm. not, didn't, yeah. didn't click. Yeah. They had one of the best morning shows I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
on the air, their chemistry was excellent.
You wouldn't
you
know
would
it.
Have yeah. never guessed that yeah. these two disliked each other.
It's kind of so like us.
Oh, stop it.
Absolutely kidding. Right. Absolutely. I had to think
anyway.
That. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. But they basically, and I know this, that they don't like each other. And they both know that they both don't like each other. Doesn't matter. So figure it out. Off you go.
Pass the puck to Miller. He's going to put it in the back of the net. Yeah. You guys are going to get in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have dinner together.
No, you don't.
So,
man, if they go out for a team dinner and JT pays for the team and doesn't pay for Pettersson, that'd be
okay.
fun.
But you know they're not sitting next to each other.
No. Right? I'm pushing it. Two more. We'll get to Nashville in a second because we have to end with the bad. You know what I mean? Try to get the good out of that. But Winnipeg, plus 100 goal differential by the year's end. Is that a possibility?
I said it's a wish on the list. I don't know if it's a possibility. So when I'm typing this out last night, they had a plus 49 goal differential.
Yeah.
Now it's dipped to plus 46 today because they lost yesterday. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at the figures, they absolutely can get to a plus 100 goal differential because they're mm-hmm. on pace for that. If they continue, mm-hmm. that would be really quite something.
Yeah, it would be. It would be.
So, and they're playing, well, they got off to that torrid start. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Then leveled out a little bit, and they're now winning again.
Which was expected.
But yeah. they're now winning again. Up until last night, they're now winning again. So it will be interesting to see how much they can sustain. Because we know Hellebuck is one of the best in the biz, if not the best in the biz. Doesn't yeah. matter how much he gets paid.
Yeah.
We know that. And so if he can continue to play more games than not, and the team continues to score... Which mm-hmm. That wasn't their identity before. They're scoring goals, Ryan.
Yeah.
In buckets. If they can continue to do that, it'll be interesting to see how close. So that is definitely, I mean, they don't need to wish for a playoff spot unless the wheels explode off. That's not going to yeah. be an issue.
No.
So they're going to get into I know they want to be top of the Central too, because who doesn't? But really, I think the plus 100 goal differential would be awesome for bragging rights. It would yeah. look awesome on the stat sheet. Awesome in the standings sheet. So, yeah, that's a fun one.
Unless the hydraulic system fails, the Jets are going to be doing
seriously.
I talked to you before the podcast, and I was trying to think about, you know, the record for plus minus as a team at the end of a season. Don't know the actual record, but I think that this is pretty close. 22-23, I'm just seeing this now, Boston, and I thought it was them because I said to you, I said, remember when they had like 180
right.
points? They were plus 128.
Oh,
so when the season was,
so it isn't that unusual.
No, okay. 305 goals for, 177 against. And then last year, the team that had the best plus minus, you've got to go to Florida, a plus mm-hmm. 68.
So that was a big drop.
Okay. That was a big drop. Big drop.
I wouldn't have guessed it had ever hit 128. That just seems incredible.
Yeah.
Because if you're plus 82, 32 games a season. So yep. if you score one more goal than you let in every single game,
yep.
that's really good.
No, it is very good. Yeah. Yeah.
So last... I thought the extra 100 would be just.
Last time I checked, hockey is about if you score more than you give up, then chances are you're going to win.
The rules remain the same.
Last one. Nashville.
Yeah, we should have flipped this. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. No, but we're going to give them love and try to do what we can to make them improve in the 25 calendar portion of the 24-25 season. You wrote down here, and I love it. Again, we're doing wish lists. Anything good, ... anything at all. It's true.
They need I have not talked to, I know you, both you and I appear on other people's shows, mm-hmm. right? As guests. It's always lovely to do that. Quite a privilege. I have never talked about the Nashville Predators so much in my life.
No.
And it's such a negative conversation. Yeah. And that's so unfortunate because, again, I was in this city a week before the start of the regular season. Remember, I went with my girlfriend, yep. Leslie.
That's right.
And there was a buzz.
Yeah, it was electric, you told me.
The city, the city magazine, you know, you get those free city magazines?
Yep.
The cover of it was Steven Stamkos wearing a Predators sweater. That's how excited everybody was about this. It's so unfortunate. I just want something good. Let's have them go on. And I know they lost again to Minnesota last night. So go on a run. Just go on a run. Don't finish dead last in the division.
It's not going to happen, Vic. It's not going to happen.
They're not going to make the postseason. I'm not saying that, but just
They're not going to go on a run. To me, if they would have gone on, they would have gone on a run already. They would have gone on one over. The only runs they're going on are the ones that get you to the bathroom, and they're not feeling very good.
Right.
They've lost.
That's quite a visual.
I mean, you can picture whatever you want to.
Do they fire the coach?
I think it's going to, this is a similar situation, not as drastic when it comes to the start that the Rangers have, but it's similar to what's going on with New York. You have Laviolette, who a lot of people think isn't on the hot seat, but he should be, because that's just what happens in sports. And yeah, I do think that Brunette needs to be this one in Nashville.
But how can they not?
I think the season is lost.
It is.
And if you bring in somebody else, I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. You can go on a bit of a run, as you were saying, a few wins here and there. But a new coach is, the damage is done. They just have no passion. When Steven Stamkos has lost his passion for the game, he is a shell of himself, Victoria. Sorry, I'm not mad at you, Vic. From where he was in Tampa. And I know Tampa was winning and they were in a better situation, understandably so. But you just see the body language, even from like a week or 2 weeks in, you think, okay, what is going on? And Stamkos is one of the happiest-go-lucky people that you'll see.
He loves playing the game. Okay, my last bit on this.
Mm-hmm.
That team is stuck as currently constructed for a while unless they make some massive trades, okay?
Uh-huh.
They need to finish this season on the upswing because they need to start off the right foot next season. I'm already talking next season for this team because
you know this
one is lost. As I agree with you on that. Well, I don't. Nobody has to agree with it. You just have to look at the standings. So next season they have to get off on the right foot. And I think if they finish on a positive wave, whatever that looks like, I think that will be very helpful. Maybe it's under a new coach.
Yeah. So if the Preds keep Brunette. I just don't see
that. I
don't
think they will.
Come back. No, they can't. I you know what's going to happen? Mark my words, and whatever time this is on this first, Barry Trotz will be coaching that team very soon. Leave it at that.
Temporarily, on an interim basis.
Temporarily. That's what I mean. He'll come down, and he'll be like, no, what? No, I'm going to see what I can do with this team.
He should. He made the mess.
He should.
He made the mess. But we didn't think it was a mess. I'm not knocking him. I was really excited for these moves in the summertime.
I remember when we had Emma Lingen on and mm-hmm. we talked to her about things. And, you know, we were saying at that time, like, it's been all season. What's wrong with Nashville? I remember saying that when they made those moves, they were flashy. They were the sexy picks. And, oh, my goodness, all the sizzle in the world. And you re-signed the goalie and you got Yossi and all this great stuff. But I said, sometimes it takes a while for individuals to mesh as teammates and players as a unit. And I just think that has not been the case whatsoever at this point.
Hasn't taken anyway. Jake Guentzel any time to meld with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Ryan.
Some are different than others. Mm-hmm, some are clearly. Different than others. Yeah. Oh, Tampa
so on
and
that sour
I'm
note.
Sorry. Yes. Happy New Year, everybody. Go get them, Nashville. We're hoping for the best. I'm just kidding. This has been a lot of fun. We're going to be back again. And again, Happy New Year, folks, 2025. And catch us wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. And check out our YouTube channel as well. I'm Havoc Vic. I'm Ryan. Thanks for watching Pucks in CS.
Quick note. We're going back to guests.
Yes.
We should mention that. So we went guestless today just because it's New Year's Day and you and I wanted to kick it old school. But we are going to return to having guests on most episodes moving forward.
So we're not going guestless. We're going to go to a guest list.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Talk to you next time.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.